welcome to The Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Taylor Barrett.
What up?
And Fabi, a.k.a. Jawbreaker.
Hi.
So excited to have you. So Fabi is a drag queen, social worker, good friend of mine. Really excited to talk with you. This week we want to talk about, since you're dressed up for a couple occasions today, let's talk about hobbies.
Yeah, I'm a drag clown here in Portland. I do drag. I've been doing drag for a long time. I'm not going to say how long. I don't want to age myself out, but I'm a veteran. I've been doing this for a good minute.
So I assume that it's pretty important to you. What drew you to it?
Trying to make that short. Basically, I don't know. I always loved dressing up. I always liked being dramatic, sparkly. When I started doing drag, it was a different type of drag because at that time I haven't like transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself hiding a lot in my drag before.
Sure.
So before, my drag was very like what people call it, like feminine and just very typical, like in the drag world we call it like fishy. Once I started transitioning, that's when my drag really started to change from like the regular, like, I don't know, pretty girl to more like alternative clowny. So the clowny thing I've been doing for like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But drag overall, I've been doing it for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you had to like kind of find your own style. Like you were inspired by the art, but then you were more inspired by like making it your own.
Yeah, definitely. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
I saw when I was little and I thought that was really, really cool. I grew up in a very like religious, strict household. So that was very like, it was so taboo. And that's why I like thought it was even more cooler, because I was like, wow, I can't like watch this, but like, why not?
Yeah.
And like, I think I started like fucking wearing shirts on my head when I was like 12, thinking they're wigs. And like,
there you go. So like, it's always kind of just been a part of you.
Yeah. I feel like performing, my dad was a singer in a mariachi band.
Okay.
So I used to go with him touring. So like, I always wanted to perform. The stage has always been something I wanted to do. And then I just did like cheer and dance in high school. And that kind of just all like
brought it all together.
Built all the full skill set. And now you're just like using all of it.
Yeah, and it worked out, because I always knew I wanted to perform, but I didn't know drag was a thing. It just works out that everything that I kind of like been working on has gone to drag.
I feel like that's really cool, like a cool feeling when like all the things that you've been working on like come together to like benefit this thing you really want.
Yeah, there like is a middle of the Venn diagram where all these pieces can like, you can do one thing with all these pieces.
Yeah.
And like, that's really cool that you like used drag to like kind of find yourself, and then from there, like once you did find yourself, like you kept doing it and kept like pushing I don't necessarily want to say like limits, but just like finding out like what you can do with it. What drew you to like the clown side of it?
So I don't know. For me, clowns were, I was so terrified of clowns as a child. And I think that one thing where like you're
like
scared of something and
you
make it like your thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that was for me. I was really terrified of clowns. And I just, I don't know. I like making people laugh. I feel like before my old drag, I was so serious and I didn't want to look stupid or look dumb. And I think once I stopped caring about that, I don't know. I like making people laugh. I like being stupid. And I just was really terrified about clowns. And I felt like the best thing to do is like be what you're fear of. And then also, I don't know, being a clown and dressing up as a clown, I don't feel like if I look stupid, or like, I don't really care as much because I'm a fucking clown. My whole thing is to like be dumb and make people laugh.
Yeah. You can like trip during a performance and be like, I'm a clown.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if somebody falls over, then it's like, oh no. But if like a clown falls over, it's like, oh yeah.
It's always a part of the game. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just threw me in there and I just wanted to do, like, I guess, I don't know, I feel like I try to do as different stuff, but the clown thing is definitely the one that kind of hold on me.
Where you feel most comfortable.
Yeah, I just like it. I don't know. I feel like the world has treated me like a clown all my life. That now I'm like, I am now actually like a clown, but I'm gonna be a professional clown.
I love it. I love it. Taylor, what about you? You have a couple hobbies that keep you busy. What drew you to those?
I just do nerdy shit. You know,
I do nerdy
shit, but we're going to talk about it because, that's what we do here. I was always really into like fighting games and, going to like tournaments for fighting games was a really, really weird, like moving past of the threshold. Cause it's like there's always that one guy that's like, oh yeah, I'm the best at Smash Bros. Like in my group. But then like, if that guy goes to a tournament, they get fucking destroyed. And they're just like, oh, I didn't know you guys played like that. And it's like, yeah, like this is the real deal. And I was definitely I fell into that trap too. There's a bunch of different Smash Bros. Games, but one of them is just like, the people that are good at it are so goddamn terrifying.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and let them combo you. And
yeah. A lot of the hobbies that like drew you in were kind of like competing and stuff like
definitely,
that.
Definitely. Yeah. I played a lot of soccer. Like I played soccer for 14 or 15 years, I think. And I just always loved competing. I loved going to games and just like sweating it out and just grinding against the other team. That's not like that.
Okey-dokey. All right, let's restart.
Okay.
Yeah, just like really just doing your best and seeing who comes out on top. And like
grinding it out, sweating, and just seeing out who comes out on top.
Finding out who the top is. And then like competitive gaming really like let me do that in a similar way, where like just grinding for ranks, going to an actual like place. The one that I went to a lot was a church. It was really funny.
Wow.
I didn't realize that that's where it was at. I walked in and it just reeked of weed, and I was like, somebody's gonna get upset about this.
Not Jesus though.
Competitive gaming. We've been playing a lot of Magic lately. That's been a lot of fun. Just getting back into that. Just like finding ways.
Why are hobbies important to you though?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's an important part of that. It's just, it allows me to like do the things that I enjoy with like kind of low stakes, I guess. You know what I mean? I like being very competitive, but like there's not a lot of times where that's like appropriate. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Being really competitive in just like day-to-day life is like really fucking lame.
And yeah, kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's pointless. And being able to like have that like competitive edge and like competing against other people, and just like try your best, figure stuff out, use your brain, use everything, your reaction time. Mm-hmm. And doing that for fun is awesome.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think for me, as far as like hobbies, it's always weird, because it's like I feel like there's things that I like doing that I could get paid for, and then that kind of like confuses things, where it's just like, oh, I'm not getting paid, or I'm not doing it, therefore. Like having art as like a hobby, that's always so tricky, because like art's important to me, but if I'm not doing art, then I feel like I'm not an artist, and if I'm not an artist, I don't have value. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's tricky to combine your hobbies with things that like you're very attached to.
Yeah, monetizing hobbies is like a difficult uphill battle, because like, now are you doing it because you need money? Are you doing it because you want money? Are you sacrificing your love for the thing because you're trying to make more money off of it? It's hard to find that balance.
Have you had to like try and figure things out in that regard?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what you were saying when it comes to like, you want to do it because you love it, but then when you're only doing it for money, do you really love it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I definitely have a challenge with that. There was a moment where I didn't do drag for a while. I had a break for like a good year or so. Cause I feel like I was kind of over it, and it started to a point to be where like, I was just doing it to do it, and that's it. It
just
wasn't like,
emotions.
Yeah, I wasn't even like, before I used to like make outfits and like prep in advance and like make this whole thing. And now it was just like, oh, like 2 days in advance. And then I just sent a music, like a random ass song that I don't care about.
Yeah.
I don't do any like prep to it. The magic kind of just like left. Well, and at that time I was like,
It's hard to be excited, you know, when you're doing something too much. Even if you like it a lot, if you're doing it too much, it's that burnout of like, even though I enjoy this, like I can't put the same energy I was putting into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like when you start wishing you were doing other things at the time, like, oh, I could just be at home, or like, oh,
yes.
I could just be relaxing.
You
know what I mean?
That sucks too, because you love this so much. Mm-hmm. And when like you start like being like, ugh, it's really heartbreaking too, when like the one art that you're really happy about doesn't really like give you the ooze anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I felt like having a break was nice.
Yes.
And it definitely made me want to go back even harder. And if I tell myself, if I'm going to go back, I'm going to make sure to actually like dedicate it to each. And that's why like now I do select shows. Mm-hmm. I don't overbook myself anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's great to feel wanted. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
I think when you're overbooked and it starts being like literally just a job and you just do it, the fun is like over.
Well, and I think Taylor made a really good point about, you know, like when you're like, oh, there's other things I could be doing, because that is such a weird feeling, because like you spend all of your time building up like these skills to like finally do this thing. And then like, and the reason you build up all these skills to do this thing is because you sit at home and you're like, fuck, I don't want to be at home. I want to do something exciting. And then you go like you burn yourself out on it and you're like, I could be home right now. And you're like, wait a minute, I wanted to. What am I doing
now? It's a never-ending cycle, literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And like when you have to like catch yourself reminding yourself that you wanted to do it. I think that that's a really important skill to have. It's an awkward moment in the experience where you're like, oh yeah, I do love this thing. I do want to go do this thing. I chose to do this because I love it. I'm not just like dealing with it, you know, like having, like being able to remind yourself of that is really important in that moment. But it's a hard thing to remember to do. And it's an awkward, like clunky part of like, oh yeah, I do like this. I guess I will keep doing it. Yeah.
Or like have a go that you want to like,
that's a really important part too.
Yeah, for me, it's like, it's a show called Dragula. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Look it up. It's a great fucking show.
I heard you talk about it.
But it's a really cool show. I auditioned twice and I haven't got on it, but it's fine.
Yeah, hey, okay. Third time.
Whenever, I don't care. I'm going to do it every single year until I make it. And that's like my goal in drag is to make it on that show and be able to just do drag full time.
Well, and I think those goals are important because like it can often make the steps that you're taking that feel smaller, like mean something more, you know, in the long run.
Chipping away at this.
Exactly.
Yeah, validation of all those years worked that like you get a stamp of like you did it. Like all those years is like worth something, you know?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've definitely like, I think that just because you mentioned it, like that worth something, you know, it's like, I feel like, you know, when you struggle, when you fight for your goals, when you fight for your dreams and stuff like that, I think it's for me personally, it's just like, I don't want to feel like that was wasted, you know? And it's very hard with when you put yourself in the art and stuff.
You
like
put your whole energy, your whole like everything in it. Mm-hmm. And then you just don't like, I don't know. In my mind, I have a whole thing that I want to be able to like achieve. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I'll be a little bummed out. Like I don't get to that point because that's like, I guess, validation of like all my years, everything I'm doing. Yes. And also to like, I don't know. I feel like I deserve it. I feel like I bust my ass and work really hard. Yes. And I would like to like, I want to show the world like my talent and like the stuff that I can do, you know?
Well, I mean, and being recognized is like such a important thing, especially for like artists. And I think that like during the times that you're not being recognized, like recognizing that the work that you're putting in, or even just, you know, enjoying like the few people who are just like, hey, I really enjoyed that. You know, it's just like, well, was it a host from Dragula? Then I don't give a fuck, you know, but it's like that person means something right now. Mm-hmm. And enough people fucking say that, maybe you'll make it. So.
Yeah. My best friend just literally got on it.
Yeah.
So,
see?
So it gets me more and more to to be like, okay, like I gotta keep trying.
It's possible.
And I mean, it's all about timing. It's all about timing. It's not my time yet, but one year it will be my time.
Yeah,
whenever
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Just gotta make sure you're ready. So the question I was gonna ask before we wrap up was what hobbies would you wanna do that you're not doing right now?
I want to get back into music.
Music.
I miss it a lot.
Yeah.
It's so fun just fucking...
Like playing instruments?
I can't sing for shit. I like to believe I can, but I'm so fucking bad on vocals. but I play a lot of instruments. I love being in bands. I haven't been in one in a while, and I just miss... Like, not even shows. Like, I do miss shows, but
just the creation process.
Yeah, just playing music with some homies. Even if just stayed in a garage the whole time. I just love doing that. It's so fun.
Well, and I think being able to enjoy it without it being a performance thing is the thing that makes it. So it's like, you're not like, oh God, I didn't perform, so I'm not doing it. It's like, I made music with my homies. That's enough.
One of my favorite parts was just like, if our drummer was just like goofing off or something, and like, I would play a bass line to kind of like match up with that. And then we would just go for five minutes. And then the rest of the people would kind of hop in and like, it just that slow, like no words spoken. We just made it happen. Like that feeling was fucking awesome. I love doing that.
I like that. Fabi, what about you?
I don't know. I feel so boring because like drag is like my main hobby, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wasn't like doing drag.
What hobbies kept you busy when you weren't doing drag?
Sewing.
Sorry.
But that kind of goes back to like drag.
Yeah. Doesn't always have to though.
Yeah, like sewing, crafting. I'm learning how to do paper mache.
Okay.
Me and my partner are starting to make like random things like headpieces, and like I'm trying to learn how to make things besides like fabric stuff, like more like structure and like non-fabric things. So I think anything to make my drag better.
Yeah.
You want to be better, I'm telling you. I want to be able to like be overall like fucking
like all encompassing.
Want to be a threat.
Yeah.
When I go on that show, I want to be a threat.
Absolutely.
Put that on my gravestone. What lies here was a threat.
A threat.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Taylor Barrett.
Hello.
And Jawbreaker.
Hi.
So on this part, I wanted to talk about work-life balance. So we all work together. We work in social work. And that is a job where they tell you to make sure you take care of yourself because you can very easily not. Mm-hmm. For some of us, that means balancing how much work you're doing and how much you're doing outside of work. Mm-hmm. I have a tendency to overwork, and I'm just like, oh, if I'm always doing this, then I'm always busy. And then like I forget, like everything sort of slips, you know? You almost get worse at work because you're not taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience with work-life balance?
First of all, I don't work 40 hours. Cool, that's one thing that I refuse to work 40 hours because I don't want to be there for too long.
Put your foot
so
down.
I try to make sure that I'm like, they're not that long, but still enough to like get my money and like sure. survive.
Yeah.
I try, and it's easier to say you should not take stuff home, but sometimes you do. And with social work, it's kind of hard not to because
yes. yeah, it's inevitable.
You think about these people that you work with, and it's really, really sad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just I always tell myself is I cannot show up if I'm not okay.
Yep.
Like these people need me, and that's great.
Yeah.
But like if I am not like good.
Yeah.
What's the point of even showing up? So I don't
sure.
know. Try to make sure I'm always good because I want to make sure I'm always giving 100%. I love that job a lot.
Yes.
So I want to make sure I'm always good. And you have to like know when you're not good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, I think that that's such an important thing because it's like, I feel like when I worked at like sandwich shops and shit, like if I wasn't 100%, it doesn't fucking matter. Just make the sandwich and shut the fuck up. Yeah. But it's like, I feel like this job is so much of like, you're taking on other people's bad day. So if you're already having a bad day, mm-hmm. then it's like now you're having two people's bad day.
Mm-hmm. And you can, like, it's obviously it's not our job to like, solve the problem for
or to
them.
Take it on even really
but just like the ability to like be an ear or be assisting or like have some idea of how to like provide resources or something like when you're not at your best or even like nowhere close to it like it makes it so much more difficult to like provide those resources whether the resource is just like you listening or I like finding a place that like takes their insurance or some shit you know like being able to like provide our time and consideration is is essentially what we're supposed to be doing and like not being able to do that or like not being at your best and suffering means you're not going to be able to do that to a level that's like effective.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think for me, like trying to like balance work and life, I'm trying to do it more. I am about to take on 40 hours. I got a promotion. What? That's the first time I announced it on the podcast. I haven't even told my mom yet. But I got a promotion.
She's going to listen to this and be like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, but I'm going to be taking on more hours. And I think like it's more important as ever because it's like there was definitely times I was tired working less, you know? So I think it's going into it and making sure that I'm consciously like, I have to take care of myself. For me, it's like it's doing hobbies and being able to like doing stand-up comedy and stuff like that. It's also really hard to do when you're really tired from work, you know, where you're just like, I'm gonna do my hobbies after work. And then you get off work. You're like, sleep is also a hobby.
I'm really good at that.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Fucking, well, actually, that's a lie. I'm pretty fucking bad at sleep.
Yeah, we're doing a show after work. It's a bitch. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate having to do a show after work. But, you know,
it's weird because it almost feels like a different kind of burnout. Because it's just like, now I'm just like tired altogether of everything instead of just work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like with work-life balance, when can you tell that it's missing?
Like when there's an imbalance?
Yeah.
It's hard to like tell until something happens. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's generally true with like most things. Like you don't realize that something's wrong until something wrong happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't. That's a hard question to answer. I think that a good indication is when like people from one side are like questioning what's going on. Like if you're like only working, and then people are like, hey, we haven't like played video games together in a long time. Or if you're not working enough, people are like, hey, what's going on? Like
I haven't seen you at work. Yeah.
If somebody from either side is like questioning your experience or like your lack of presence, then I think that's a good indication that like something might need to be readjusted.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
I agree. Yeah.
What about you, Fabi? What are your red flags?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I definitely agree. Yeah, I feel like when things start like for work, when you feel like you're kind of like starting to fuck up or you feel like you're kind of just losing like your vibe or like your momentum or like I guess you're not feeling as like passion to like do certain things. And that's like both ways when it comes to like either for me, example, like work or drag.
Right.
When I'm like not feeling it or not having the motivation, obviously I have to figure out like what I'm doing more of one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For me, it's hard. I'm not gonna lie. It's hard trying to find that balance because sometimes I lie to myself and tell myself that like I'm doing good and like everything's fine, and I'll lie to myself until it's too late.
Yes.
So I don't know. Probably not the best person to ask.
Do you think that might be one of the signs though? Like if you're starting to have to convince yourself of it, then that could also
like my brain is so weird that even when I'm convincing myself for it, like I tell myself that it is like it's I don't know. The brain.
You're justifying it. You're like, no, it's okay that I'm justified.
I mean, that's also like a survival instinct. Let's keep yourself sane.
Mm-hmm.
No, I definitely feel that. I feel like the red flags for me are it's not showing up to things I love. That's really be like whether it's comedy, whether it's work, like between the two of those, like I love doing both of those things. But like when I don't have a balance, it feels like the other one is almost a burden. Mm-hmm. And I hate that feeling. I hate feeling like
the way my comedy is. Comedy's getting in the way of my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm staying up too late because of comedy. Now I'm showing up late to work, or I'm having a rough day at work and I'm saying I don't need to do comedy because of that. Mm-hmm. So it's like I can always tell when things are you know, starting to get out of whack is when I'm just like, oh, man, this other thing that I love doing is a huge burden.
Yeah, and then mostly with social work, like, the job that we do is intense. It's like intense shit, so you can have, like, a really bad day and have to go to a show.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I gotta go be a clown while I, you know, while someone over here telling me their whole laugh story and is really, really sad and have to leave, and then literally an hour later have to, like, play this whole character of being happy where I'm like, you know, thinking about this one client, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a different type of job.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and I mean, I like that you brought that up just because it kind of goes to that, like, not taking work home with you.
Mm-hmm.
But also being inevitable sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it is an inevitability, but like what helps you like separate that? Is it like, for me, it's just saying like, I did everything I could with the time that I had today. Mm-hmm. Like that's, for me, I just have to make peace with like, I couldn't do anything more. It was 6 o'clock, or I called everybody I could, or, you know, just making peace with like, it's not done, but it's not that I didn't try.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I recently had to stay like after 6, and normally I try to like not do that because you want to set boundaries. But there's sometimes where I feel like you got to make the decision to like, I can't just leave when in a situation because my mind would kill me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I definitely don't want to like fix stuff. And I guess like the way I keep my stuff separate is like kind of like you were saying, is like you just have to like do what you can do. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like you can't fix something in 8 hours. Truthfully, even if you try.
Absolutely.
And mostly with like the shit they're going on, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's not a 2 hour fix. It's
not even a week can fix that.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to almost like separate those parts of my life, and like sometimes they can like bleed into each other, but mm-hmm. like when work's done, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna go home to like my family, you know what I mean, and we're gonna go hang out with my daughter for a little while and put her to bed and fucking play video games, and having that like clean break of a separation has been very helpful. And like I said, like it's an inevitability sometimes, but like that having that like distinct two parts of my life has been a big help. And I don't know what I did to like separate them so distinctly in my brain, that is definitely how it works. It's just like, this is work me and this is like not work me,
a little switch.
Exactly.
Have to be able to say like my problems at home are at home, I'm at work. Mm-hmm. My problems at work, you know, and vice versa, obviously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I definitely think that it's a hard distinction to make, but I think it's such a necessary one. So in regards to, you know, work life balance, what helps you get balanced? Like what helps you, you know, is it doing more of the thing that you love? Is it doing less of the thing that's bringing you stress? Like,
I try to do not drag because I'm already doing that, and I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it brings me like joy but also stress, you know.
Yeah, that's so both things can be true.
I don't know, I try to do like, I really like what is that called? I'm trying to figure out how to call it in English. Fuck, they're like I make like wow, I'm having a fucking brain fart. They're like it's kind of like weaving. Mm-hmm. You weave like little baskets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you call it in English, but I tend to really like doing that. I like weaving things or painting. Mm-hmm. I'm really into painting. Or I'll just do a lot of like go out to the beach and like we have our job gives us like this cool card that you can basically use for like massages and all that stuff. Let me tell you, I use that a lot.
I need to track that card down.
you get like a good amount each year, and you can any like wellness health thing you can use it for.
I think that can like pay for copays, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was the card that we use to buy stuff for clients at work, and I accidentally spent that card, and they were like, "No, you need to pay that money back." I was like, "Whoops."
Yeah, every time I went to a doctor, I haven't paid it for my copay. I only use that, which is like pretty cool. I mean, it also it's crazy having good insurance. How like the world changes when you have good insurance. Because when I was like homeless, and or not even just homeless, but like not having like the insurance I have.
Sure.
It's insane. Like,
yeah.
Sucks.
Well, the world's more accessible to you when you're not stuck being sick.
And when you got free like OHP, they literally like you are the last barrel. And then from that going to the other insurance, the difference is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I need to go get chiropractor appointments with that card. That's going to be the first 10 things I do.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky enough to be able to have a card that like does that. Because that's why I tell everybody about that car because it's really great. Like, I be getting massages every 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, self-care is important.
Yeah.
You know?
It's nice.
Yeah, definitely. Taylor, what about you? How do you try to balance when you can tell things are imbalanced?
I try to plan a little bit, and that's not a skill that I am great at, but it just implementing it when and where I can helps restore a little bit of balance. just like if I notice things are getting out of whack, I just kind of like try to remove myself, take a step back a little bit, and just observe what pieces are missing. What if much of this is on this side, and try to just like reorganize it mentally, and then just kind of like try again. You know, and that's knowing that it might not work, and that I might have to step back and reevaluate again or a third time even, and just kind of like the mental reorganization, and then trying.
Yeah, I think like being able to get enough distance from the things that like are causing you all of these. If you're stressed or you feel like you're not showing up, like taking a step back and being like, am I doing too much? Am I not showing up enough here? Because you might be, but if you're so close to it, you know, it's hard to recognize that.
And figuring out why, you know what I mean?
Why?
Like if work has been particularly stressful and these last 2 weeks there's so much shit has happened, so much chaos has happened, all these, then like that makes sense why your work-life balance might be a little out of whack for a second, and that's not something that you necessarily need to reevaluate. That's just kind of like
it's recognizing.
Yeah, you're just acknowledging that this was a particularly difficult week, and sometimes that's gonna fucking happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Life.
Yeah, that's the life part of the work.
Life be life in some time.
Life be life. I would say the thing that helps me balance, sometimes it's doing less, you know, and sometimes it's doing more, you know, because it's like, I don't think like there's a prescription for me, because it's like, sometimes I'm overwhelmed or sometimes I feel bad because I'm doing too much and I feel like I'm failing stuff. And sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, and that's also a form of failure. Mm-hmm. So it's like knowing when to kind of pick things up or pull things back is like, it's hard to balance too, because it's like the things that you're working really hard on are things that are really important to you and probably need a lot of hard work.
Also, give yourself grace.
Yeah. Grace. Oh, I've heard that word.
The hardest thing is you give yourself grace and give yourself a chance, you know, like everybody's trying.
Yeah.
That's why I suck at giving myself grace and being like, girl, we're just fucking trying every day. Everybody's just trying every day, trying to live, get by.
Well, it's such an easy thing to give to a client or a friend, but like for yourself,
whole different story.
Yeah, totally different. I know me. I should be working harder.
Right? Yeah.
I know all the excuses I can think of.
Yeah, I know my schedule. I didn't have shit to do today.
I think it's smart too that you acknowledge kind of like doing less is also a form of that, because I feel like a lot of people just think that you need to do more always. If something's wrong, you need to do more. You need to put your foot on the gas and just go faster and do more. But like doing less for the sake of, you know, like work-life balance or your mental health or whatever. Yeah. I think that's a really important part to acknowledge too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Good little bit of self-care.
Cool. All right. Well, that has been The Smoke Break. I have been your host, your old pal Zane, here with Taylor Barrett.
Bye.
And Jawbreaker.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. I had a great time.
Thank you so much
for having me.
Yep. We'll see you next time. Later, players.